All right, well, if you got your Bibles, you can open with me today to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And currently we're in a series called Authentic. Authentic. Do we just say that we are followers of Christ, or do we live it? Is there a difference in our life other than what comes out of our mouth and how it is that we live as a result of making that decision to follow Jesus Christ? And the goal is not to live perfectly for Jesus, but to live more consistently for him. That's the goal of this series. So the last couple weeks, we've talked about a few things. We talked about the three heads of lettuce, from Hebrews chapter 10. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold unswervingly to him. And let us not give up meeting with each other, as some are in the habit of doing. And we talked about last week about persevering as Jesus makes our joy complete so that we can do those things, so that we can continue to persevere because his joy is in us and our joy then is made complete. And as I was working on the message this week, I was thinking, okay, I'm journaling, I'm writing, I'm reading, and I'm like, okay, I'm working on Hebrews chapter 11 because we reached the end of Hebrews chapter 10 last week. So I'm like, okay, Hebrews chapter 11. And God began to return me to this concept of joy. And I said, oh, that's nice, God. We'll talk about that some other time. I'm going to Hebrews 11 today. That's what I'm doing today. I'm going to Hebrews 11 because that's next. And now my name's not Israel, but I wrestled with God for a bit about that one. And finally, I did relent. And as a result, it seems that God wants us to continue talking about joy or kara today, as joy does more than just help us to persevere as followers of Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, so we're going to read John 16. We're going to start in verse 16. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're ready, say, let us go. Jesus went on to say, he's talking to his disciples here, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. At this, some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while you will see me no more? And then after a little while, you will see me, and because I am going to the Father. They kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, and so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me? Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, while the whole world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I will tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Father, we thank you for your word today that we get to study. I thank you that this is your message and not mine. I pray that you would relay and convey the things that are on your heart that you want to have shared with each of us today, including myself and everyone who listens online. God, we thank you for the privilege of looking at your word, of studying your word, of digging into your word, and God, that it would consume us as we consume your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, title of the message today is Joy. Joy. In this passage, John recounts Jesus saying those words that I read today after they left the house that they were meeting at where they took the Last Supper. Okay, and presumably, as they leave the house, Jesus and his disciples walking along outside, he begins to tell them things. He begins to tell them that I am the vine and you are the branches, that you need to stay connected to me, that you need to abide in me. And then he goes on to talk about how the world is going to hate them because it hates me, he said. Because they didn't know who I was, that's why they hate me, that's why they're going to hate you. Okay. And then he says, as he said back in chapter 14, that Jesus is going away, but he's sending another helper, a comforter, a counselor, an advocate. And he tells them that it will be soon or in a little while that they won't see him anymore, but only for a time. at which point the disciples begin to talk amongst themselves, asking each other, what is he talking about? What's going on here? What do you know what he's saying? Do you know what he's saying? Did you get what he just said? Did you get that? I sometimes miss when I'm in another a conference or a service or something like that. I sometimes miss things that are said. I kind of start thinking about different things, and my mind kind of wanders off. And if Kelly's there, then I maybe hear the room react, and I'm like, Kelly, what did he just say? What did I miss something? Did I just miss something? And so, similarly, the disciples are leaning over to one another, asking each other, "I think I missed something. Do you know what he means? What is he talking about?" And Jesus, being well, Jesus, he could tell that they were doing this. And so John says that Jesus saw they wanted to ask him about what he had just said. And I love the prophet Samuel. In 1 Samuel, he says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. In Psalm 139, King David declares of God, he says, "Before a word is on our lips, he knows it completely." And so Jesus, knowing their thoughts, begins to tell them a little bit more about what it was that he was saying. He begins to unpack this, what's going to happen to each of them as he goes away, that they're going to weep, that they're going to mourn while all the world around them rejoices, and they will grieve. They will grieve. That's not part of the Christian walk, is it? Mourning, weeping, grieving. Oh, yeah. But we think about that word joy. That word joy doesn't seem like it fits with mourning and grieving and weeping, and yet it's in the same passage that he's talking about it. But it doesn't seem to go along with the things like I talked about last week that we as believers face, that we have to endure public insults and persecutions and suffering like those who are in prison and having everything taken from us and yet somehow still to have joy. That doesn't make sense. How do we have joy? But Jesus still says here, he says, "Your grief will turn to joy." Your grief will turn to joy. In the Greek, that word or that phrase "will turn to" can mean to become, to result in, or to amount to. So in other words, your grief will become joy, your grief will result in joy, and your grief will amount to joy. How can the one become the other? How does that work? Let me tell you, it's when we are able to look at what is to come after. What is to come after? I'll read it to you. James 1 in verse 2 says this: "Consider it sheer or pure joy, sheer joy or pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance or endurance." See, joy and perseverance working together again here. Verse 4, "Let endurance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Who wants to have complete joy? Yes, absolutely. So trials that bring grief and anguish to us can also bring joy as we recognize that God uses those things to produce a maturity in us and to remove lack from our lives. And so we are to look beyond the trial to see the outcome that God intends to bring. Even if we don't know what that outcome is, we can count on him bringing something good because his word says that he takes all things and uses them for good to those who love him. We can count on it being good, and that, my friends, is something that we can have joy in. Jesus compares it in a similar way to a woman giving birth to her child. Now, us guys, we don't necessarily understand that, but we can visualize it happening. We can visualize it from what we observe. Verse 21, "A woman giving birth has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy," or kara, "that a child is born into the world." Because her time has come. We all experience hard times in this life. We all do that. Times of anguish, times of trial, times of pain, times of uncertainty, times of question, times of doubt. But it is in remembering what is to come after that we can rejoice or have joy in the midst of all that junk. And not just when we're going through it, but in all seasons of life, as Jesus completes our joy and continues to complete our joy, and continues to complete our joy, and continues to complete our joy as we abide in him. As we abide in him. Do you know how important joy is to the life of a Christian? It's kind of important. Last week we talked about how the joy, or chara, that's the Greek word for joy, the joy that we receive from Jesus makes our joy complete so that we can persevere through what we go through. As Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we sang earlier today, the joy of the Lord is our strength. But as God changed my focus on this message for this week, I found that joy is not only meant to be an internal thing that helps us to persevere alone. There's more to it than that. Check this out. Three times in three subsequent chapters of the book of John, John 15, John 16, and John 17, Jesus talks about the same complete joy or fullness of joy. John 15 and verse 11, I read this last week. Jesus says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete or full. John 16, 24, we read today, Jesus says, ask and you will receive, and your joy, the same Greek word as in John 15, will be complete. Same Greek word that's in John 15. And then in John 17, verse 13, Jesus says in his prayer, I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure, again, the same Greek word in John 15 and 16, of my joy, the same Greek word, within them. May have the full measure of my joy within them. He says it three times. And let me remind you, this happens right between the Last Supper and Jesus getting arrested. He's talking about joy, and not just joy, but joy, complete joy, and three times he says it, at least. Why do you think that is? Right before Jesus goes and gets arrested, gets beaten, gets whipped, gets spit on, gets a crown of thorns on his head, all that kind of stuff, gets put on the cross, crucified, and dies, Jesus is talking to his disciples about joy. Why is that? Why do you think that is? For one, joy is one of the things that distinguishes us from the rest of the world. It sets us apart as believers. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, brothers, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, those who have died, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who has no hope. There's a difference there. He's making a contrast. The world grieves the loss of their loved ones as those who have no hope. They're dead and that's it. That's all they see. But Paul goes on to say here in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 4, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. That means those who have died while living for Jesus, while abiding in Jesus, that he's going to bring us to a new life. This is our blessed hope. This is our blessed hope. There's a reason for joy here that the world does not understand. This life is temporary. But there is an eternal life to come. And Paul continues on in verse 15 in the same passage of 1 Thessalonians 4. He says, according to the Lord's word. How many know according to the Lord's word, that means it's true? It is 100% true. We can take this to the bank, all right? We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep or died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up. That's where that word rapture comes from. It's the Greek word raptuo. Will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a joy in the midst of grieving because we know that when we die and when our loved ones who know the Lord and who abide in him die, we know that we're going to go and meet Jesus and be with him forever. We know that. And the world doesn't understand that. But it's our job to share that with them. And so we as believers, as followers of Christ, we act and react differently than the world. It's part of what sets us apart. that we would not react the same ways that the world does. We may have the natural inclination to do that. And maybe we would at times too. We would react sometimes in the way of the world. But there's an overriding change in our hearts. There's a transformation that comes from us that makes us different than the world. Second reason joy is important is the opposite side of that. You know, so A plus B equals C. So now we're going to talk about C equals B plus A. We're looking at it from the other perspective. I don't like algebra, but that's, you know what I mean. All right. The second reason, how often is our witness tarnished in how we react to something? Yeah, we can make it right as we're supposed to. We can say, like I say to my children sometimes, I'm sorry I responded that way. I shouldn't have said it that way. Shouldn't have said it in that tone. This is what I should have said. Will you forgive me? We can make it right, but that doesn't take away what I did before, does it? We can tarnish or ruin our witness in how we react to something. But what if instead we were to live in that joy that is made complete? What if we were to live in that all the time, or at least more than we do now? What if we were to live in that all the time? The joy would be the first reaction that we would have in those difficult times. Would that change things? Would that cause us to look different? I'm going to have Jason play a music video here by Micah Tyler called Praise the Lord. I don't normally do this in the middle of the service. But I just want you to get a picture. Like he's talking about, like when he has bad things happen in his life, he's going to choose to praise the Lord in the midst of it. But look at how he acts or reacts differently than how the world does. I think it's just a good picture of that. So if you can play that video right now. Do you think we look different if we lived in joy? He's a little over the top. You know, maybe we wouldn't all do that kind of stuff. But can you imagine that being on the inside? On the inside of us, like if that was the joy that we had in us, it was like, it doesn't matter what comes our way. I'm going to continue to praise the Lord. I'm going to continue to allow this joy that's not originated in me. I don't have to drum up joy, but I would allow his joy to make my joy complete, and I can continue on. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26 says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow the decrees, my decrees, and be careful to keep my laws. As we need the Holy Spirit in us to help us to follow his decrees, we need that. That's what he's saying right here. So we receive through the Holy Spirit the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. It's not a cherry. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We don't just get one of those. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have access to have the eternal part of each one of those in our hearts that we have the ability to live out because his Holy Spirit is in us, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? Having joy. If you struggle with this, struggle with living in joy, I want you to know that you're not alone. There are things that take my joy, and my gladness and my rejoicing seem to fly away. It's supposed to be sorrow and mourning and crying is supposed to fly away, but no, sometimes it's my rejoicing and my gladness, they fly away by things like that, you know, having a tooth extracted, or I haven't had that, well, I guess I have, wisdom teeth. Having stuff like that happen, having my ice cream fall off of my ice cream cone, or having a newspaper hit me in the face, or having to stand in line for a long time. Yes, all of those things. As I was working on this message, and I took a break to pray. I think it's a good idea to take a break to pray from our regular stuff. I'm reading a book about that right now. So we should be able to take breaks to pray. Instead of taking a break from all the things that we're doing just to take a break, that we would take a break to pray instead, and that would help us that would be more refreshing to us than anything else that we would take a break from. And as I was doing that, I felt my eyes kind of getting a little heavy. And fortunately for me, like as Brian talked about before, my brain began to get shut off. And I was able to listen more to what the Spirit was saying. And I heard this word or phrase, joy stealers. Joy stealers. And I was like, oh, I should talk about joy stealers. What are joy stealers in our lives? There's a lot of them. And so I thought we should talk about them so we can identify them so we can know how to deal with them. Because if there's joy stealers, there's also joy bringers. Joy bringers. So the number one joy stealer today, the devil. The devil, John 10 and verse 10. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He comes to steal our joy. He comes to kill it. He comes to destroy it. And if he can't possess us because we're followers of Jesus Christ and we have the Holy Spirit in us, he can certainly oppress us. He can oppress us. But the truth of that helps us to know what is of God and what isn't. If what is happening to us is stealing and killing and destroying our joy that God intends to make complete in us, then that's not of the Lord. That's not of the Lord. And secondly, when we've confessed our sins, John tells us in 1 John 1:9 that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it? All of it. Thank you. Yes. And so if the stealing and the killing continues after confession and repentance, we can also know that that is not of the Lord. That is not of the Lord. And this goes along with another joy stealer. Number two, our past mistakes. Our past mistakes. Those things that we feel shame and guilt over and are reminded of throughout life. And yet, if we continue to come back to those same things with those same feelings of regret and shame and guilt, they can continue to steal the joy that Jesus wants to make complete in us. And the devil likes to jump right on the bandwagon there and remind us of those things. Because why? He is the accuser of the brethren. He likes to accuse us before our Father day and night. But praise the Lord, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And here's another truth bringer or a joy bringer. 1 John 3:19 and 20. This is how we know that we belong to the Lord and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us. You ever had your heart condemn you because of things that you've done wrong in the past? Mistakes that you made, your heart brings it back up. It condemns you. It makes you feel guilty, makes you feel shame, makes you feel regret. Even if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. This is a scripture I've had to go back to many times. It's so important. My heart can condemn me. My heart can put me down for things that I've done wrong. It can. And the devil likes to jump on that bandwagon and do the same thing. Oh, yeah, you remember that stuff that you did. You remember those times that you made fun of believers. You remember that those drugs that you took and those alcohol that you drank and all the other things, all the other acts that you committed. All those things, you know, reminds me of all those things. How can you be a Christian? Right? How can you possibly be a Christian? How can you possibly be redeemed from that kind of stuff? Right? Am I just preaching to myself today? Yeah. Okay. That's all right, too. But this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. God is greater than our hearts. The one who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Is there any sin that the blood of Jesus did not atone for on the cross? No matter how many times we've committed it, if we will come to him, if we will confess our sins, if we will repent of that stuff, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. He is able to do that. He is greater than my heart, and he knows it all anyway. In fact, he knew every single mistake I was ever going to make and still chose to send his son to die for me. Every single one. So we can set our hearts at rest in his presence. Even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. A third joy stealer today, people. People. I don't have to give you more than just a few seconds to think of somebody that's a joy stealer in your life or has been. Whether they're in the church or not, there are messy people in this world. Messy people. In fact, you all need to raise your hand with me right now. Just raise your hand. Just raise it up. Trust me. Trust me. See, everybody that's raising their hand is a messy person, okay? All of us are. And everybody outside of this church also should be raising their hand right now, okay? Because everybody in this world is messy. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one without sin, no, not even one, okay? We're all messy people. So now that we got on the same board there. Proverbs 14, verse 4. I like this. This is in the NILT translation. I'm going to read it to you. This is always what comes to mind when I think about messy people in the church, including myself. Without oxen, a stable stays clean. Make sense? Yeah. There wasn't anybody in this church would stay clean. Okay? But you need a strong ox for a large harvest. Friends, if there's no messiness in the church that needs to ever get worked through ever, then probably that church is not living authentically for Jesus. They're putting on a show. Well, I don't have any mess in my life. You don't have any mess in your life? Okay, well, we can do church together. No, that's not how it works. We got to work through some stuff. We don't all agree on everything. Unity is not sameness. Doesn't mean that we think the same way, that we react the same way, that we say the same things, okay? Unity is oneness. We have commonality in Jesus Christ, and we serve him differently, but we can serve him alongside each other because we have Jesus in common. Okay? Authentic followers are proven to be authentic, not only in our victories that God brings us to, but also in how we handle our mess-ups. In fact, if there was never any mess-ups in our lives, which there are, they're just covered up ones, if there are never any mess-ups, we can't be proven authentic. Okay? Just hear that. If we never share with anybody that we ever mess up, we never make a mistake, if we ever don't ever walk through that, if we're always right and everybody else is always wrong, we can't be an authentic believer. So people can be a joy stealer, but they can also be a joy bringer. They can also be a joy bringer. I think about Philemon 1:7 says that your love has encouraged me, brother, because you have refreshed the hearts of the saints, or it has given me great joy. Your love has given me great joy, brother, because you have refreshed the hearts of the saints. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? When those that we get to minister to come to know the Lord, when those that we get to minister to begin to walk in more freedom, when those that we get to minister to, we see them start their own relationship with the Lord and walk it out. Man, that gives us joy. Yes, it does. Praise the Lord. So people can bring us joy as well. Another joy stealer, number 4, finances. Finances, money. Many of us think that we live in lack, and if only we could have just a little bit, or maybe a lot more, then we'd be okay. We'd be all right. We'd be better. We end up living lives that when we have enough, then we're happy, and then when we don't have enough, then we're sad. Right? In other words, money or our perception of our lack of it can steal our joy. And I know this has been true many times in my life. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10 says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds, not all evil, but all kinds of evil. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. When we allow money to dictate the joy in living, we fall into this joy stealer, okay? Like I said, I know that I've dealt with this. There's probably somebody else in the room that's dealt with it as well. Brian has been doing classes this last year and the beginning of this year, and he's going to do more of them this year. But as I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about this, something came to mind, and I was like, we should offer a class on finances. I think we should just offer a class on that. And so Tom and Lisa Wellman have put in their names to say, yeah, we can walk some people through stuff if they want to come to a class. And so I just want to invite you to consider that. There's a sign-up sheet that's, I think, is in the sound booth. We moved to the table down there. If you're interested in coming to a financial class, wouldn't you like to know how God wants you to use what you've been given? What you've earned is what you've been given, okay? Wouldn't you like to know that? Wouldn't you like to not live with a joy stealer in your life? Okay, well, that's what this class is for, okay? So I just invite you. This is an interest-only sign-up sheet. This is not, I'm committing to come to the class. We don't have dates. We don't have times. We don't have number of classes yet. But Tom and Lisa, through their own experiences that they've had and pulling from a few different curriculums that are available out there, they would put together their own class, and they'd be willing to share that with others so that others may walk in freedom like they do, okay? And so I think it's a class that I want to go to. And so I'm just going to encourage you guys to come do it as well. So we'll have the sign-up sheet out there in the back for you guys to sign up afterwards. a fifth one today. Busyness. Busyness. I tell you what, there's times in my life where I'm not busy, which doesn't happen very often, that I can actually feel joy. But those times when I'm trying to keep track of all the things that I'm trying to remember, I gotta make sure I do this, I gotta make sure I don't, I gotta make sure I this that person that, this I gotta make sure I when oh, I gotta do taxes and I gotta figure out how to, and I gotta do taxes for Anna now and for Noelle and I just got all these different things that I'm thinking about, all these things, and it steals my joy. It keeps me from living in joy. It keeps me distracted. It keeps me from thinking about what's happening right in front of me. Okay, and become like kind of like this robot face, like or maybe like the Visine guy. That's why I feel like I walk around like that sometimes, because I'm just so thinking about all these other things that it's all going on in my head and I can't have any of it out here, okay? That's a joy stealer. God doesn't call us to be busy, okay? Busyness can provide purpose in our life, but it's not the purpose that he has for us. Busyness can cause us to avoid doing bad things. I keep myself busy so I don't get in trouble. Isn't that right? Yeah, keep yourself busy so you don't get in trouble. But what happens when you're not busy? You go right back into that trouble, okay? So it's not a good thing for that either. Busyness is a joy stealer. Take time in your life. In fact, instead of organizing your life where you try to fit God in at the, you know, I got this full schedule, so maybe I can kind of squeeze him in there and maybe kind of, you know, maybe over here and, oh, I didn't have time to spend time with him then, so I'm not going to worry about it. Instead of that, reprioritize your life to have God say, okay, he gets the first part of my day. He gets this part of my lunch break. He gets this part of my evening, whatever the case may be. Plug those in first and then fill everything else out in your life. And that'll help you not to have joy stolen from you because of the busyness in your schedule. God will refresh you in those times. God will give you his peace. God will give you his joy. Amen? All right, well, let's wrap it up today. Jesus finishes up in this passage that I read today talking about asking for things. He says in verse 24, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Now we can take that to like in general, asking for things, all right? But he's talking about it in the same context here. And we need the context of what a scripture is written in order to understand what the scripture is talking about. He's talking about grief turning to joy. Therefore, ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete, okay? So he says it right after grieving. He says, ask, and your joy will be complete. The last week's main point was, we persevere because of his joy in us. This week, for joy, seek him. For joy, seek him. Above all else, Matthew 6, seek the Lord and his kingdom above all else, and all these other things will be taken care of. All these other things will be given to you, whatever translation that you use. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. Ask him for joy. For those who come to him, when we come to him in prayer. That's how we talk to him. That's how we seek him, is in prayer. Okay? For those who come to him find joy. Psalm 40 and verse 16. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. Say that today. The Lord is great. He is great. As we close, will you stand with me today? Stand on up. Now, you may have heard this kind of woven into what I talked about today, but pastor confession time. I don't always live in this joy of the Lord. I find it kind of hard to live consistently in this joy of the Lord. Things come my way, and some things I'm like, okay. But lots of other times I'm like, that's just stealing my joy right now. There's a lot of things that weigh on me. I was listening to an interview with Alice Cooper. Anybody in here know who Alice Cooper is? Yeah. He was the one who was coined with inventing shock rock. Shock rock, having like horror type stuff happening on the stage as he's performing. Guillotine and all that kind of stuff. You would think that he would be the furthest from the Lord, yet he grew up in a church. His name is not actually Alice Cooper. I think it's Jim Furnier or something like that. But he grew up in a church. He said he could quote the Bible with the best of us. And yet that was how he lived. He got bad into alcohol. He got bad into drugs and all that kind of stuff and setting that scene. And Jesus saved him. Jesus saved him. At one point he heard in his life, or the doctor said to him, you have 1 month to live. He had all kinds of internal bleeding because of all the stuff that he was doing to himself. And God saved him. And not only saved him, but healed him. And now he's healthy again and able to continue to live. And God said, you're going to continue to do what you're doing before, but you're going to follow me in doing it. And so now what he does on stage has an element of redemption, has an element of coming back new, clean. That's so good. That's so good. And he said this. He said this at the end of the interview. He said, we have a million things coming at us each and every day. How are we going to handle them? How are you going to handle them? We have a million things coming at us each day. How do you handle them? Right now, how do you handle them? We need to rely on Christ. His words. Alice Cooper. Thank you, Lord. Jim Carrey. I wish everybody could get rich and have everything that they ever wished that they could ever have and find that that's not the answer. Jim Carrey said that. We need the Holy Spirit. We need his joy to live for him. We need his peace. We need his love. We need all of that. We need all of the things that the Holy Spirit brings into our life so that we can live in that complete joy that Jesus brings us by his Holy Spirit. So we can live more consistently for Jesus. I'm going to ask you today, whoever you're standing next to, remember difficult people sitting next to you, that's people, steal our joy, right? We talked about that. It can be difficult to get along with sometimes, but I'm glad I get to sit next to you. I'm glad I get to stand next to you. This is one of those times that we get to just lay hands on one another and just pray that God would bring joy into each life. So I just want you to lay hands on, if you have two people next to you, put lay hands on either side. If you have one person next to you, can you just come over and join someone? Okay, there you go. And Alex, join somebody. We're just going to lay hands on people today. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God would give whoever it is you're laying hands on today joy. That God would bring his complete joy into their life, no matter what it is. We're not asking for prayer requests. If you want to share prayer requests, that's fine. But we're just asking that God would bring joy into each of our hearts, that he would make us different. Lord, we just pray today. We pray, God, that you would make us different than this world because your Holy Spirit is in us and making us greater than what we would otherwise be. We thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence. We thank you that you come, that we may have life and have it to the full, have abundant life. And so, Lord, I pray for my brother, my sister, left and my right, God, I pray for them to have joy today, no matter what's going on in their life. If they're grieving today, that would be turned into joy. If they're mourning today, that would be turned into joy. If they're having a hard time today, that would be turned into joy. As they look forward to know, if you can take all things and use them for good, that you would take this thing that's going on in their life and you would use it for good today. Would you pray that for your neighbors today? Just pray that today.